This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
We're going to look at a passage in Luke where there's a man who was more interested in systems than he was in people. That can happen today. We're going to read about a man who was more interested in the structure of things than he was in people. He was more interested in the organization than he was in people. And that can happen in schools, it can happen in businesses, and it can happen in a church. William Barclay was from the Church of Scotland, and of course very familiar, and was in England during World War II. And he said, as strong as this sounds, he said, in England we were so desperate for soldiers that men were looked at as living ammunition. I'd never heard that term before. They're expendable. Men were looked at as living ammunition. We need 1,000 men to take on 2,000 German soldiers, 3,000 German soldiers, whatever the case may be. And so people were looked at as expendable, and it's understandably so in the nature of what was going on in World War II, and England was fighting for its survival, its very existence was on the line during the Battle of Britain and beyond, and all of that that you've read about or watched movies about or television programs about. So that can happen in the body of Christ. And today we're going to read, and this will all flesh out some of the things that Ken said today in worship, a woman who had a medical condition that I'll talk about in a minute for 18 years, where she was bent over with what's called spondylitis deformans, a bent spine. And after 18 years, she doesn't even ask Jesus to heal her. Jesus calls out to her, which I find intriguing, that Jesus points her out in the crowd and said, come here, come up here. He lays hands on her. People have speculated, did he put hands on her back that was bent over? I don't think so. I wonder if Jesus got down and put his hands on her face and said, woman, you're loosed. You're free from that which has bound you by Satan. Jesus attributes in her case, not every case, but her case, that it was a spirit of infirmity. Let's read about it. It's in Luke, the 13th chapter. It's exactly where we were last week. The next verse, Luke 13:10. On a Sabbath day, which is Saturday, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. I don't know if you've ever seen a person who's in a permanently bent condition. I have over the years, and it's just a terrible thing to see. When Jesus saw her, notice this, he called her. She didn't call out to him. He called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, but not on the Sabbath. Notice this harsh rebuke from Jesus himself. The Lord answered him, you hypocrites, you phonies. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. That the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Dr. Luke Bauman was a professor and may still be at Valparaiso University. It's not a big university. It's in Northwest Indiana, not far from where I grew up. And it's the main deal in Valparaiso is the university. It's a Lutheran university. And he's a big fan of C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote Mere Christianity. If there's one book I recommend to people, I recommend, of course, the Bible, but C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. What most people don't know about C.S. Lewis is that he wrote some books that children enjoy, The Chronicles of Narnia, written by C.S. Lewis. Movie made about The Chronicles of Narnia. Several movies, I think. But what they really don't know is that C.S. Lewis wrote a trilogy of science fiction books that I've never read. He was really an imaginative person. Three books on science fiction. Now, here's the story I want to use about that. In one of the science fiction books that he writes, one of the heroes is trying to tell a people, obviously from another planet, another galaxy, whatever, what sin is. And he's having trouble putting into words to these people that have never heard the term sin. We don't know what sin is. He said, I'll tell you what it is. It's like being bent. Interesting. It's like being bent. It's like, well, I'll put it exactly how Dr. Bauman puts it. He describes it in this way, a misshapen, not the way you're supposed to be, and not fit for the intended purpose. And then I thought, that's what sin is like, bent. You ever talked about somebody being bent out of shape? You did it this week. Oh, so-and-so at work, he's bent out of shape. Well, your aunt's bent out of shape again about this or that. And we use that term. We use it not even knowing why we use it. But bent is a good term. And isn't it interesting? Here's a woman who was bent for 18 years, bent over. And as I mentioned earlier, I think it's called spondylitis deformans, which means they're extra bone or calcium formations on the spine. And then they find that as they grow, they fuse together. And so a person just gets lower and lower to the ground. And she has this for 18 years. And I find it intriguing. She had a spirit, crippled by a spirit for 18 years. And then Jesus identifies that of Satan, that this woman had been put in this situation, bound for 18 long years in verse 16, and was set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her. I want to talk about what binds you. And about the main thrust here is that loving people more than loving structure or loving the rules. The synagogue ruler is mad because this woman has been healed after 18 years of a bent over condition. Isn't that amazing? How people can get angry over a little thing and totally neglect the big thing. Instead of rejoicing that this woman had been healed after 18 years of infirmity, can you imagine what your life was like when you can't look up at people? Can you imagine what it was like socially? Can you imagine what it was like doing business in the community when you're totally bent over? It was more than a handicap. It was a curse. Listen to that again. It was more than a handicap. It was a curse. But you know what? There are things in people's lives that are a curse, like guilt and shame and resentment and bitterness and anger, and the list goes on. And part of my message today is that God is in the business of releasing people from what bends you and what has bent you in spiritually. But you know what? There are things in people's lives that are a curse, like guilt and shame and resentment and bitterness and anger, and the list goes on. And part of my message today is that God is in the business of releasing people from what bends you and what has bent you in spiritually. You see, I'm convinced that we see people every day that are bent, but you just don't see it physically with your eyes. And I want to tell you this. This is really an important thing, what I'm going to say. God is able to see the bent position in your life, what it is. Your spouse may not see it. Your brother or sister may not see it. Your closest friends may not see it. But God is able to see the heart and the spirit and the soul, and He's able to perceive what has us bent over for 18 years. Now, I was thinking about the number 18. What's happened in your life in the last 18 years? That's a long time, isn't it? 18 years. What's happened to your family in 18 years? What's happened in your job in 18 years? What's happened in your education in 18 years? What's happened in all kinds of personal things, your health in the last 18 years? And so I want to convey to you, that was a long time to be infirmed with this infirmity that was caused, according to Jesus, the expert, it was caused by Satan. Does that mean that every infirmity caused by Satan? No. The Bible is very good about distinguishing that which was caused by Satan or spirit and that which was physical illness. I want to talk about the things that bind us. I want to talk about shame for a minute. I rarely have talked about shame. I was looking at my sermons recently and I said, man, you haven't said much about the subject of shame. Shame and guilt are different. We can feel guilty and then move on and say, God, forgive me. But shame is something that's ongoing. It just doesn't leave. It's like baggage. In fact, Barbara, who's from Milford, Massachusetts, wrote an article about the best thing I've ever read about shame. Here's what she writes. Shame held me prisoner with no walls. Isn't that interesting? I was in prison with no walls. I held tight to its chains for most of my life. I could not get out of my cage. When I finally got the courage to climb out, I thought that others held the keys to unlocking the door, but they could not, nor would they help me. Those I loved, the people I loved, didn't understand. I had no answers. Despair was my world, and my voice fell silent. Listen to this next sentence. Shame is like walking through life carrying heavy baggage with you wherever you go. You believe that you need those heavy suitcases filled with past experiences with you all day, every day. It was like climbing a mountain with a tremendous heavy load on my back. When I reached the top of the mountain, there was a higher hill to climb. I finished climbing a mountain. There's another one. And I climbed that one. There's another one. Now listen to this. This is powerful. Shame made me feel dirty. God says that in Christ, I'm clean. He sees the purity in me through Christ. He doesn't cling to my past. He sees my present, my past, and my future. That's a word for somebody today. Somebody came here today, this day, in February 2017, to hear that word. God wants to release somebody from the infirmity that's got you bent over inside in your spirit called shame. And that I really mean that with all my heart. Well, my guess is that speaks to more people than maybe we're willing to admit. It may speak to you or me today. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening to CrossHope. I want to talk about guilt. Guilt is different. It's similar to shame. Shame comes out of the guilt, I think. One of the best things I've ever heard written about guilt, believe it or not, is a country singer from Texas. Annie and I lived in Texas for 4 years, and I remember hearing about a guy by the name of Jimmy Dale Gilmore. Doesn't it sound Texas? Jimmy Dale? Jimmy Dale Gilmore from Austin. He was a songwriter, musician. Here's his life story. This in a nutshell. I went through a few years of getting lost. And more lost. The drugs, the sex, the alcohol. Sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? That is until you figure in the remorseful hangovers, the depression of the loneliness that is both the cause and the effect of the whole cycle, the whole vicious cycle. I went far enough down to come to this point. He said, I realized I either had to change or die. Anybody ever reached that point? I came to the place in my life where I realized I had to change or die. He said, I caused hurt and sorrow to the people closest to me, living my life with my own gratification as the guiding principle. The old cliche that experience is the best teacher proved itself to me with a vengeance. For some of us, it seems experience is the only teacher. I had to learn the hard way. I had to learn the hard way. People are capable of learning, and learning that I had no wisdom on my own opened the way for me to learn from those who did. I was given a second chance. I found that once I considered empty platitudes are actually descriptions of fact. Jesus said it is better to give than to receive. I know now that to be the case, not necessarily by faith, but by experience. I discovered it, the painful truth. The genuine concern for the welfare of others is the only gateway to real satisfaction for myself. What did Jimmy Dale Gilmore, he's not a theologian, he's not a preacher, he just said, guilt was my bondage for years. That's a word for somebody too. And what did he say? I found out from experience. Ultimately, he found, I think, the answer is Christ. The answer is Christ. Grief can be a form of bondage over a person's life for 18 years or longer. Sheila is from New Hampshire. She writes this story. 4 years ago, I lost my husband of 28 years. I felt that part of me had died, and if it were not for a firm faith in God, I don't think I could have carried on as a single mother through many challenges. There were floods and trees through a roof after a huge storm, other downed trees, children being sick, teens suffering from depression, wandering and rebellion, friends who needed a home and children who needed a dad who could no longer be there. Each and every challenge was difficult, but God sent help and finances as they were needed. God provided when sometimes there did not seem to be a way. I do believe that God created the world, and it's not just formed randomly from a mass explosion. He longs for a relationship with us. He's more interested in people than he is in systems and structure. It is this relationship I have with God that allowed me to continue on. This all happened through prayer, singing praise songs, what we did this morning, and reading the scriptures inspired by God. Every time I felt I couldn't go on, God gave me a friend to help or a word of encouragement from His Word or a new job to fit my schedule. All this was possible only because Jesus died on a cross so that I could be forgiven. I've never heard of a paramedic coming out of the field of being a paramedic going into the ministry, but David Haley did. And he tells about some interesting things about being a paramedic that I never thought about before. He tells this. He said, I always had anxiety as we would get calls through the radio or whoever called the 911 people, whatever. He said, because of two things. We would get the calls where people made what happened sound just awful and we expected to find the worst. And he said, we'd get there. It was nothing. But then he said there were the calls where we thought it was nothing and it was death. Somebody was near death or had already died. And we thought it was nothing. It's no big deal. And so he said there was that constant anxiety of not knowing what are we going to come up with? What are we going to deal with when we have this encounter as a paramedic. Now, here's the story he tells that relates to this passage. He said, the place that I hated to go to the most, he said, because of anxiety, not because he hated the people or anything. He dreaded it when they would get a call to go to this institution in Chicago where there were people with severe physical deformities. He said there were people you couldn't use a backboard with because they were so bent and so deformed. He said something I'd never thought about before. He said, when people have massive physical deformities, he said, their vital organs aren't where you think they are. You think the lungs are here on this person, but they're somewhere else because they moved over because of the condition of their physical body. And he said, that's very difficult to deal with. You don't know if the kidneys are where the kidneys are supposed to be. The stomach may be up here because everything is out of order in that person's condition. And then the thought occurred to me as I read David Haley's words is that he said, everybody has deformity spiritually. He said, we all have paralysis spiritually in some area of our life. We all have deformity in terms of what's going on inside in our spirit, in our heart. And I think he's right. And it's the Lord God Almighty that deals with that. It's the Lord God Almighty that can deal with the deformity in your life and in your heart and in mine. You got to believe that. Because you have to believe that the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, has that kind of power and that kind of creativity to work in your life and in my life. And I want to suggest to you that what he said to this woman, woman, you are set free from your infirmity, then he put his hands on her and immediately she straightened up and praised God. God gave her what she needed after 18 years. I don't know what this scripture says to you, but I want to ask you, are you bound by guilt, shame, or grief? You say, no, I got other issues. Then the Lord will help you with it. I'm just dealing with those three today. I just felt led to deal with those three. The shame, guilt, and grief. My point is this. God can speak to whatever binds you today. Just you. And God can speak to whatever has held you bound for 18 years, longer, shorter, it doesn't matter. God can loose you from your infirmity and mine. Why? Because he's God. Because he's God. Folks, I have a feeling this message speaks to a lot of people today, and maybe including you and me. Our website is crosshope.org. Be sure and look at visual stories under crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.